Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nanaranyamrigavratayar Anabhathe Munivatai Ahutam Manyate Panto Yatra Kokila Pujitai Nanaranyamrigavratayar Anabhathe Anabadhe Munivatai Ahutam Manyate Panto Yatra Kokila Kuchitai Nanaranyam Rigabraktair Anabadhe Munivatai Ahutam Manyate Panto Yatra Kokila Kuchitai. Sages, Ahutam, as if invited, Manyate, thinks, Mantaha, passenger, Yatra, where, Kokila, of cuckoos, Pujitahai, by the cooing. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. I've been asked to also read text 18, which is the previous verse. This is text 19. So we'll go back, we'll read the translation and purport of 18, and then 19. So verse 18, translation. The branches of the trees standing on the bank of the lake received particles of water carried by the spring air from the falls coming down from the icy mountain. Purport. In this verse, the word Hima Nirjhara is particularly significant. The waterfall represents a kind of liquid humor or rasa relationship. In the body, there are different types of humor, rasa, or mellow. The supreme mellow relationship is called the sexual mellow or adirasa. When this adirasa or sex desire comes in contact with the spring air moved by Cupid, it becomes agitated. In other words, all these are representations of rupa, rasa, gandha, shabda, and sparsha. The wind is sparsha or touch. The waterfall is rasa or taste. The spring air, kusumakara, is smell. All these varieties of enjoyment make life very pleasing, and thus we become captivated by material existence. Text 19. Translation. In such an atmosphere, even the animals of the forest become non-violent and non-envious like great sages. Consequently, the animals did not attack anyone. Over and above everything was the cooing of the cuckoos. Any passenger passing along that path was invited by that atmosphere to take rest in that nice garden. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A peaceful family with wife and children is compared to the peaceful atmosphere of the forest. Children are compared to non-violent animals. Sometimes, however, wives and children are called Svajanakya Dasyu, burglars in the name of kinsmen. A man earns his livelihood with hard labor, but the result is that he is plundered by his wife and children, exactly as a person in a forest is attacked by some thieves and burglars who take his money. Nonetheless, in family life, the turmoil of wife and children appears to be like the cooing of the cuckoos in the garden of family life. Being invited by such an atmosphere, the person who is passing through such a blissful family life desires to have his family with him at all costs. Om Maginata Manundasya Gananjana Shlakaya Shakshurud Militam Jena Tasme Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in a historical context, if we study the history, we can see that most religions have some philosophical difficulties with this concept of sexuality. It's either deemed as sinful, not godly, or it's just deemed as a karma that you ultimately transcend to go to some higher void or some higher impersonal, spiritual, non-relationship state. And sometimes it's even called the original sin. So in Sanskrit that would be called the adipap. So our Vaishnava philosophy is very much advanced from these understandings. This sexual relationship is described as the adirasa, not the adipap, it is the adirasa. And it is not ungodly, but in fact it is described that this is the perfection, this is the topmost relationship of the five relationships that one can have with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it is very onerous duty, and is very important that we apply this Vaishnava philosophy into our lives, especially in this regard, because basically speaking, the entire rest of the world does not deal with this point, either material or spiritual. They do not deal with this point of sexuality properly, in a proper understanding or a healthy understanding. So much negativity is associated. So the Vedas tell us that there are two principles. Actually, if we look at the dictionary definition of sexual, we'll see that it is, in the modern dictionaries, it's basically focused on a kind of a gross understanding, some kind of biological function, and in the mass culture it is also portrayed that way, such that even as devotees, maybe our heads are filled with this idea of what is sexuality. Even if you go back to an older dictionary definition, I was looking last night on the internet, I think in the 1500s, the definition of the word sexual was the interaction of masculine and feminine principles. Indeed it comes from a Latin root which means basically that when you have a masculine principle and a feminine principle, that's what this word actually means. So in Sanskrit, this is described as Purusha and Prakriti. Purusha means the male, masculine principle, and Prakriti means the feminine principle. And many, many places this is described. Srila Prabhupada describes many times. Krishna is the supreme male and everybody else is female. Krishna is the masculine principle, everybody else is feminine in relation to Krishna. Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. We worship the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Purusha. So in one sense you could say everything is sexual. The entire universe is sexual, if you want to look at it in a broad vision that the Vedas are actually giving us. Because the entire universe is simply an interaction of Krishna and his energies. That's all. It's simply an interaction of the Purusha and the Prakriti. Krishna is a Purusha and he is Atmarama, he is self-satisfied. But to expand his pleasure and enjoyment, to create relationship, he expands as Prakriti, as his energy. So the entire universe is pervaded by this principle of Prakriti and Purusha. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. Sarva means everything. Everything is coming from him, Isha, the Supreme Lord. Everything is made up, intrinsically designed, intrinsically exists according to his existence as Purusha, interrelating with his Prakriti. So we see this principle everywhere throughout the creation. So some of the characteristics of Purusha are given. The Purusha is independent and the Prakriti is dependent. The Purusha is not dependent on the Prakriti. The masculine is not dependent on the feminine. The feminine is dependent on the masculine. The Purusha gives the shelter. The Prakriti takes the shelter. The Purusha is one. Nityo Nityanam, Chaitanas Chaitananam, Eko Bahunam, Yo Vidadhatikama. The Purusha is one and the Prakriti is many. So we see this principle everywhere. So these principles are there. The Purusha forgives unlimitedly. Krishna unlimitedly forgives. The Prakriti tends to make mistakes, become forgetful. It's dependent, it's energy. So if we can apply this science of Krishna consciousness, we can see these principles in every single relationship that we have, whether it's relationship with our computer, our car, our bike, or it's a relationship with our mother, father, temple authority. Everywhere we see this in the world. And Srila Prabhupada says in one place that basically speaking, Krishna consciousness is this simple to understand that we are not Purusha but we are Prakriti. And Prabhupada explains that people who are not trained in devotional service, they do not understand this point. Because they're all thinking that they are the enjoyer. They are the Purusha. So this is another aspect of Purusha Prakriti. Purusha is the enjoyer and Prakriti is enjoyed. Just like if there's a small child dancing in the school musical and the parents are in the audience watching. The child is the Prakriti. The parents are the Purusha. But the parents are enjoying, the child is being enjoyed. The parents are enjoying watching him dance up there, or her dance up there. But it's not that the child is not enjoying. He's enjoying like anything, actually is more. Why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come as a devotee? To taste what is this nectar of being in the dependent position. So it's not that Prakriti doesn't enjoy. No, they enjoy, but they enjoy being enjoyed. And Prabhupada says if we can understand this one single point, we can understand Krishna consciousness. If we do not understand this simple point, we will not possible to understand Krishna consciousness. If we think we are the enjoyer, we are meant to enjoy others, we cannot understand Krishna consciousness. As soon as we understand we are meant to be enjoyed by others, ultimately, bhaktaram yagyatapasam, savalokamajram. Krishna is the ultimate enjoyer. Ultimately, we are meant to be enjoyed by Him. And when we're enjoyed by Him, we are very, very blissful. Who has tasted that nectar of serving the spiritual master, where you don't have to think, you know, oh, should I do this, should I do that, or what's going to happen here or then? No, you're just simply serving the spiritual master. Whatever he needs, you're right there, you're serving, you're responding to him. And it's a very, very blissful position. Anybody who's done personal service to bona fide spiritual master knows that. And this principle is, of course, throughout the entire creation. So if we're having some difficulties in relationship, if we analyze in this way, it is far more powerful than women are from Mars, or men are from Mercury, or, you know, kids are from here and parents are from there. But this principle, if we understand, if we accept that Krishna has made this creation, these principles are going on throughout the entire creation. Even if we're a mother, we're in a position of controlling the children. We're in that Purusha position. Of course, there's some difference in the application. The mother has a certain mood, not that they're exactly the same. The Prabhupada gives that example of the material energy that she is subordinate to the Supreme Lord, but then she is controlling the living entities. And he gives the example of a mother, actually. That a mother is subordinate to the husband, she's in the feminine position with the husband, but she's in the masculine or the superior position with the children. She's in that Purusha, she's controlling the children. So it's not that, you know, I'm in this position all the time and they're in that position. No, it's that, what is that nature of that relationship? And this is a very, very dynamic way to look at the world. If we see, what position am I taking here? Am I taking the dependent or the independent position? Am I being supported by this person or am I supporting that person? What's the relationship? Then the relationship goes very, very nicely, very easily. And generally speaking, if we have some problem in relationship, it's because we're not properly understanding what is our position as Prakriti Purusha, as dependent, independent, like that. And there's the application is according to the relationship, according to the activities as well. So Krishna is saying this, Chaturvarnya Mahasrishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasya. These relationships, like a brahmana is, you know, in a superior position, he's giving the guidance, giving the shelter. But Krishna is saying, guna karma, what is actually happening? What is the qualities? There's many cases where somebody was in one position or one varna, and they didn't act in that. Then nobody respected them as that. They were immediately in the Vedic tradition. It's not that you're typecast. So, for example, if somebody's a temple authority and you're working under them, there's a certain limit where they are in that superior position. They are giving the shelter. They're giving. They're controlling. But then there's certain things like they might say, you know, oh, you have to vote for this political party, or you have to get this particular kind of medical treatment, or you have to, you know, have your child birth in this particular way or that particular way. That's outside of that relationship. That's not within that relationship. So all relationships have there's a detail of where it's applied and where it's not applied, like that. So basically, this is how we can take that position of Prakriti, how we can become servant of Krishna, is we serve the devotees, we serve those who are qualified. All of our Vaishnava etiquette, all of that is a subset. It's, you know, it's, of course, it's the essence. But it's not that it's something separate. It's not that Vaishnava dealings and everything is something that, oh, we believe that and somebody else believes something else. No, it's that these are the principles by which the creation works. It works on these principles. That there is someone in a Purusha position that is controlling, giving some control, some direction, and there's other people who are following that. And we can see in the Western, so-called Western world, there's so much social havoc because of not applying this principle. But we notice that in the West, the things that do work, they are according to these principles. If we look at the military, if we look at the government, the legal system, the business world, there's bosses, you know, there's generals, there's prime ministers, there's people under them who are under their control, there's people who are serving them. Like, there's a whole entire hierarchy in the Western world of military and, you know, business, very clear roles of Purusha, of Prakriti, the boss, everything like that. But in terms of the social organization, so much of it has been lost due to the so-called liberation of the 50s, 60s, like that, that socially it's a disaster. The divorce rate's more than half, like way more than half in some places. There's so many, you know, even when I went to school in the 70s, it was quite rare, the single, you know, somebody had a single parent. It was quite rare, I remember. And now, like, if you go into the schools, it's very, very common. So anyway, there's so many things we could say. But it's interesting that the things that the Western countries really value, their military strength, the business, these all run on very strict, you know, laws of who's in control, who's serving them, what they're getting. All of these are very, very clear. But socially, we see that the traditional cultures, that also came into the social situation, the family situation. And Arjuna talks about this, that when these family traditions are lost, then everything goes to hell. There's no clear role of who's protecting who. You know, the father's protecting the family, the mother's protecting the children, the older brother's protecting the younger brothers. Like that in India, in the traditional cultures, in Italy, and other places, that's very, very very, very clear. And therefore, socially, they're very happy, you know. I mean, people in India are much happier. Okay, I mean, you could debate on someone for years over this, if they have a certain mindset. But if you just go around and you take of the billion people and see who's smiling and happy and quite peaceful, in India, there's everywhere, you know. And in the West, there's people achieving in business, there's people achieving in the military, there's people achieving in these other fields that are clearly defined, government. But who's happy in their social situation? Who's very happy to come home and their mother and father are there to give them advice on their relationship with their husband or their wife? And, you know, their brothers and sisters are there growing up as well, and it's a very harmonious... I mean, mostly, if you go to Australia, mostly that situation is seen among the Indians or the Chinese or these other traditional cultures. But in the Western sort of idea, there's a lot of dissatisfaction with relationships in the home, the social relationships of family, a lot. So this is an interesting, a point that this is how the universe works. And if people want something to work, you see, they'll do it this way. When there's a war on it, all of a sudden they'll say, okay, you're the general, okay, you guys have to do what he says. Or you do what the commander says. Okay, the commanders, they have to do what this guy says. And there's a whole chain and then everything works. So that's how the creation works. And of course in the Vedas there's a whole raft of checks and balances that if someone is not qualified to be in that position of giving shelter and giving advice and being followed, then they're not followed. There's hundreds of examples why, you know, whether, you know, you don't follow a fallen husband, if husband's fallen, you don't follow. It's not that just blindly we follow. But this principle is how things go on. So we should be, Prabhupada is telling us, we should try to apply this in our life, you know, in our family life, in our relationship life. To understand what is the relationship we're having with people. Are we giving shelter? Are we dependent on them or independent from them? There's a whole list of things you can go through. What is the nature of prakriti and purusha? The control of energy and the energy. When people watch, movies or TV shows or something that, you know, what the whole mass media that people are getting their rasa from nowadays, mostly. Mostly that's how people get it, isn't it? Most of the world, well, the Western world certainly, is filled with people who are sort of together experiencing something. They're not really relating to each other. It's sort of like something happens on the television and they both laugh together. Or, you know, there's so much of this. But most of what they experience is still in these interaction of energy, controller of energy. And then the energy itself, what's happening. So there might be a documentary on, a power plant, a nuclear power plant, and how it all works, and people are interested, oh wow, you know, because there's the controllers, the scientists are doing all this in the control room, and then there's the energy, the prakriti that's dependent on them, and it's very potent, there's a lot of energy. So it's interesting for people, the interplay of the controller of energy and the energy. This is the thing. But you see, the most interesting to people is the romance, is the love story. This is the top box office hit. And if they make a movie, it has to have that in it. If it's going to be successful, almost without fail, it must have that. So the reason is that this is the expression of that principle of control of energy and energy. It's that principle, but in a personal form. It's people. It's not just the masculine principle of the controller of energy and then the energy. It's a person who is the personification of masculinity, a male, and a person who is personifying all the feminine qualities. And then with the way those two interact, that is very interesting. So this is what Vedas is telling us, that this is the Adirasa, this is the original relationship. That's why Krishna, Radha and Krishna is the topmost relationship, because this is the perfect personification of masculinity, the perfect personification of all feminine qualities interacting, having a relationship. You see? So, this is what we are encouraged, that we will find this interesting, the interplay of masculine and feminine energies. We will find it interesting forever. Okay, it's not that we can't, it's not that we can, like the Buddha or something, it becomes nothing. But it's just a matter of how are we going to experience that? As a brahmachari, as a if we're not, you know, in the grihastha ashram, we're experiencing that actually on a higher level, because we're taking that feminine position, that position of the served, of taking shelter with our spiritual master, with our gurus, our ashram managers like that. And that that experience, that is what will save us from mundane, from the mundane male-female thing. Because rasa bhajam, rasa upyasa, param jishvandivad today, we're looking for that higher taste. One time, one devotee said that this book distribution, this is actually just like the mood of the gopis. He wrote like this in a letter. And one temple manager, he became upset. And he wrote to Prabhupada. And he said, Prabhupada, this is, I don't remember exactly what he said. But he was more or less saying, I don't think this is right. Is this right? I don't think this is the correct thing. So what did Prabhupada write back? Maybe some of you know. He wrote back saying, yes, this is the mood of the gopis. This is the mood of the gopis. But when there was a gopi bhava club, that they would sit around and just talk about the gopis and this and Krishna and Radha and all this. Prabhupada closed it down immediately. Right? So this is our process. That what is this feminine position, taking the feminine position, is to serve the superiors, to serve Krishna for his pleasure, make him happy, not caring what it's hot, it's cold, I don't feel like going out, I feel like going, whatever we don't, it doesn't matter. You go out and you distribute the books. You see, then you're doing it for Krishna's pleasure. That's the mood of the gopis. That's the point. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing them as the topmost devotees because they don't even care about social convention or their position or whatever. They simply want to serve Krishna, the supreme form of Godhead, Krishna. They want to serve him. So we can experience that right now, today, this second, by simply trying to adjust our consciousness from being the enjoyer to being enjoyed by Krishna, to being enjoyed by our spiritual authorities. What do they want us to do? To make them happy. Who has made that Guru Maharaj happy and felt very blissful? Who's done that? Who's felt that bliss of serving the spiritual master and making him happy? Only a few. How do you remain in Krishna consciousness? who's felt blissful by making their teacher happy or their, I'm not just saying Diksha Guru, I mean their teacher or their some spiritual authority or somebody. That bliss of, you know, pleasing, making something nice and they're like, wow, this is really nice. Thank you for this offering. Who's felt that? Everybody has. No? Yeah. So is that a nicer feeling than, you know, getting the maha for yourself and going off in a corner and eating it or something, you know, whatever our vice or our sense gratification is. What's better? We know what's better, isn't it? Isn't it? Yes? I think so. Otherwise, how can we stay here? That is very blissful. So if we keep applying that more and more, to try to please the spiritual authority, always have our consciousness, and as soon as we start to think, oh, what about me, what do I want? But hang on, that's not the process of upliftment. That's not going to take me to Krishna, to Godhead, to a higher level. That's going to take me to the animal, you know, species, you know. So, you know, and we can apply this, you know, in every relationship. Always, if we're always thinking like that, are we taking the enjoyer or the enjoyed? What position are we taking? This is the crux, you know, this is the essence of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, this is the sum and substance. It's the, if we understand this, we are the servant, Krishna is the master, we serve him, we become happy. That is Krishna consciousness. Everything else is just, it looks nice on the outside. But that actual feeling, that actual, what is it called? Krishna Bhavamrita. In Bengali they say Krishna Bhavanamrita. They call it the Krishna consciousness. They say like that. Krishna Bhavanamrita. The nectar of having the mood of devotion for Krishna. That's real Krishna consciousness. And we can, you know, really help ourselves by checking with our consciousness. Where is our consciousness at? Are we taking that by understanding this? What is the nature of the enjoyer? What does he do? He controls people. He likes to do this and do that. If we're doing that with another devotee, we're trying to control them or influence them or whatever. Are we representative of Purusha or are we imitation Purusha? That's what we have to ask ourselves, you see. That's what we have to ask ourselves. Because Prabhupada said, the guru, the king, these people, they are representing Krishna, no doubt. And they have authority. Prabhupada said, do this, they did that. In the relationship, it's there. So, there's two types. We are never God, but we can represent God or we can imitate God. So we should be always careful, especially if we take some position in the society, especially if we have some position of that, you know, we are the whatever. We have a tendency to control and enjoy the material energy, and we have a tendency when we come to a spiritual organization that we, of course, continue to have that desire to control and enjoy the material energy until we become more and more purified and it gradually goes away. So we have to be very careful. Are we controlling and enjoying for Krishna, on behalf of Krishna? No doubt we have to control. If we're to push on the mission, we have to drive the car, we have to control the car. But are we controlling it for Krishna, on behalf of Krishna, or we're controlling it because I like to drive this car? So that's the difference. Very simple. It's given what's that Bengali verse? Prema is serving Krishna's senses and sorry? Can one person say, because it's what did you say? That's not the one I'm thinking of. Is there another one? Do you know, from Kajangavu, you know? That there's... What is it? Yeah, say. Sorry? Okay, so that's the one you said. Okay, thank you. Obviously, I don't know the Bengali for that. I've only heard the English so many times. But this is the definition, is pleasing Krishna's senses is love. And pleasing their own senses is called karma or lust. That's it. That's the difference. Okay, so thank you very much. Please give your blessings that I can also always remember this and have always this mood of trying to serve others, serve Krishna, try and do what the spiritual authorities want. We've got 5 minutes, I think, for question. Any question or comment? No question? Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.